Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation and technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
What do you think about the Laker team now?
You follow the box scores of the games every day, just the Lakers.
You're kidding. That is really a compliment.
I was pleased to see you smile at the top of our show, because once the game starts, you have a game face. You don't smile much out there.
I don't think you have to do things for money anymore.
Correct.
What's up, Laker fans? Welcome to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. And the NBA, always entertaining, this league. Couple of bits of news dropped. Some trade speculation on Giannis. Giannis may have just hit the trade market. Windhorst was on an ESPN radio hit saying, guys, he's already requested to be traded. Going to talk about that and the possibility of if our Lakers might be in the market for him or not in a little bit. But first things first, the Clippers shanked CP3 in the middle of the night. We get news that he gets released. Chris Haynes tweets out at like 12 in the morning. They're in Atlanta. Talk to me your thoughts on Chris Paul getting released.
He's not even released. They are essentially sending him home. There's like roster challenges with outright releasing Chris Paul and waiving him, because the Clippers only have 14 players on their roster. NBA collective bargaining stuff says that you need to carry 14 players. And if you dip underneath 14 players to 13 players, you can't do that for more than 14 consecutive days. And the Clippers are so close to the first apron where they're hard capped that they don't have enough space to actually sign a player to replace him, because if they waive him, his contract's fully guaranteed. So he still counts against their cap. So they're like $1.2 million under the first apron. And that's basically the same amount of money the Lakers are under the first apron. And so they can't actually sign anyone until January or so. So Chris Paul becomes trade eligible on the 15th. So in theory, they could try to trade him to some team in order to get a different player back. But they're not releasing him. No. They're not giving Chris Paul his freedom, Pete, to maybe sign with another team or whatever. They're doing the indignity of basically like that meme where the guy walks into like the juvie prison and like wakes up the kid and shakes him. Get up, get out of here. They just did that to Chris Paul. If they were going to do this, why do it in Atlanta?
Yeah, it's crazy. And that's like the best player in their franchise's history, D.
Bob McAdoo won an MVP as a member of the Buffalo Braves. But since they've become the Clippers, Chris Paul, he spearheaded their turnaround as an organization. Him and Blake Griffin, the Lob City team, DeAndre Jordan, those were good teams. They never broke through. J.J. Redick, I'm guessing, will be asked about Chris Paul at some point. Mm-hmm. That's one of his best friends, essentially, from an NBA perspective. And they go way back from their time with the Clippers. And before that, were blood feud enemies from their ACC days when Chris Paul played at Wake Forest and J.J. was at Duke. Those dudes hated each other. And then so for them to come full circle, you know what type of two assholes they are, that they're just like, ah, simpatico. We see the world in similar ways. We're going to be jerks. But in getting back to the Clippers and Chris Paul, yeah, man, they didn't waive him. They're sending him home as a 40-year-old player who just, what, 3 weeks ago announced that this was going to be his final season. And so, no, there's no farewell tour. It's a, like, go home, bro. We don't even want you here. And the most recent tweets from Shams are like, well, Chris Paul, his leadership style was abrasive to the organization.
How is that news to them? Like, they knew that better than anybody.
I just think leadership in general seems to be abrasive to this organization, Pete, because let's just put it kindly, and I'm going to give these guys a little bit of credit here. James Harden and Kawhi Leonard have had a ton of success as NBA players over the course of their careers, and Kawhi has been the best player on multiple championship teams. Like, he's won finals MVP on two teams. And so I'm not going to knock Kawhi from a player like I can be the best player and lead a team to a championship, but he's not known as this like vocal leader, a guy who's going to be out in front of things in that way. Chris Paul has been that sort of dude his entire career. He came into the league as a rookie being like, I'm going to speak my mind. I'm going to get guys in order. Like, this is what I do. He's the point guard for those reasons, Pete.
Absolutely, D. And at this point of his career, when he's as old as he is, as physically diminished as he is, that's probably one of the main things he can add to your team.
There's real value there. I get that he was super productive for a 39-year-old for the Spurs last season. And one of the reasons why people, prognosticators, picked the over on the Clippers' 49.5 win total this season was partially because they get a guy like Chris Paul at the minimum, right? They're like, oh, we get a backup point guard who was still very good last season. We get that he's old, but we think he can still play. There was supposed to be on-court value for him, but if anything else, there was supposed to be off-court value as well. And the quote unquote abrasiveness of his leadership style, are you new here? He's been in the league. This is 20th season.
With your franchise for like half of it. Yeah.
Yeah. This is who Chris Paul is. But the second part of that is just like, oh, well, he's butting heads with Ty Lue. It's like, I guess, and I don't want to put it all on the organization. Like, a leopard's not going to change its spots, obviously. But Paul, at this stage of his career, if he's going in the way that he is, but the Clippers are a massive disappointment. They are, at this stage of the NBA season, probably the biggest disappointment in the league when you think about what they were last year, a 50-win team, what they were projected to be this year, which was at least a 50-win team. Their over-under was 49.5.
People thought they got better, yeah.
Yeah, and everyone said they got better, right? Oh, they got Bradley Beal. They got John Collins. They got Chris Paul. Oh, Bogdanovich, and on and on and on. And now they stink, and Chris Paul's just like, what are we doing here, seemingly? We shouldn't stink. Where's the accountability? Just doing Chris Paul stuff. Like, I didn't come here to lose. I get that I did come here partially because it's close to home, where his family is, and everything else. But I could have retired. I came here to be a part of one last chance to win with a veteran team. We ain't doing shit. Why aren't we doing shit? And probably starting to stomp his feet in classic Chris Paul way, which is like, I'm starting to get mad about it and maybe be a jerk about it, but this is who you sign. And they're just like, nah, we don't want to hear any of that why are we bad stuff. We're all frustrated. You could go home with that. It's a word. This is how they do. Clearly the best player since they've been to Los Angeles. And the other guy who was a part of that was Blake Griffin. they up and ship Blake Griffin out to Detroit 2 months after putting his face on a t-shirt with MLK and Rosa Parks and being like, you're a Clipper for life. You know what I mean? This organization, Pete, this franchise, they will shank anyone in the night, seemingly. This is seemingly what they do.
Let it be a word to the wise and to other free agents and NBA players, like, you know, only so much aspirational deals can cover, because they are absolutely going to do you dirty at the end of it.
Yeah, no circumventing the shank that you get.
That's right. It's coming, whether you like it or not. Where the hell do you think they go from here, man? Like, there are several other shoes to drop for them.
There are. They host the All-Star Game this year as well. The aspiration cloud that you alluded to, that still hovers over them. The whispers about Ty Lue's closeness to Chauncey Billups and, like, the federal probe and investigation, that stuff is still lingering out there as well. So pretty humongous dark clouds that are hovering over the Clippers right now that go well beyond their 5-14 record or 5-15 record or whatever it is, which is probably contributing to their record as well, which is not being talked about enough. They can't be sellers, Pete. They owe a pick swap to the Thunder this year.
They have to be sellers. Like, they got to put that to the side, D. Like, they're going to be bad whether they like it or not.
Sure.
To me, that's something they got to take their medicine and they got to liquidate as much as possible at the deadline.
You don't think that they're going to just dig the hole deeper, though, and be like, can we get our hands on Anthony Davis? Can we get our hands on disgruntled player X or Y? Like, can we try to move heaven and earth? And we do have tradable picks in 2032 or whatever, and be like, we have to try to salvage this and maybe get our way into the play-in or whatever. The bottom of the West is bad. Like, I know that they stink right now, but their five-game win streak away from being right back into the play-in mix. Memphis just did this.
For sure.
Memphis was awful. They went three in a row, and they're back in ninth.
That's right.
It's not the Western Conference of last year or 2 years ago. They could still be like, oh, well, and kind of convince themselves and twist themselves into knots.
I would argue that they've done that for a couple of years, that really, in some ways, the James Harden deal, who's been very good for them, but they've been sort of postponing the medicine that they needed to take for a few years now and already digging that hole deeper. This also, like, this is a gap between an ownership position and front office positions, meaning that if you're in that front office position, you're incentivized to keep your job, right? So that, like, oh, let's get Anthony Davis. Let's find some way to be respectable, to pull this out of the mud, rather than go to your owner and be like, I have bad news. We have to tear it all down and liquidate and do all that. And the owner very may well look at that and be like, and that includes you too. Let's take a break here. Come back. Keep it going.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
The last point I'll make about what you're just saying too, who are you trading Kawhi Leonard to?
No.
You're not trading Kawhi Leonard. Who are you trading James Harden to? There's already a saturated point guard market of who wants these guys sort of idea with players who are way less proven than Harden, but still do have some star appeal. Do you want LaMelo Ball? LaMelo Ball might be available. Do you want Ja Morant? Ja Morant might be available. Are you going to throw James Harden in to that mix too? What about all of the Kings players, like lower price guys like a Dennis Schroeder or whatever? Are you going to trade James Harden? And what are you going to get for James Harden? Who needs a point guard in that way? And especially one who I know that Harden has proven more adaptable the last like 2 or 3 years in that he can be a scorer. He can be way more of just a facilitator guy and scale down his scoring to be a guy who could lead the league in assists, but still, that's the guy you have to give the ball to in order for him to be successful, which in turn would hopefully make your team successful. But he's having a great year for the Clippers this year, and they stink.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing to like sell off pieces if you're the Clippers?
So many different franchises are at an inflection point right now that I wouldn't be surprised at all if teams started kind of trading each other's problems for each other type of thing, right? Like, it's very clear in Memphis they need a shakeup, in Sacramento with the Clippers. There's several other teams that fit this description as well. A lot of them happening all at once. Milwaukee, we're about to talk about Giannis, right?
Yeah.
That I do think that there's a decent chance that these teams find, you know, find company in each other and try to kind of exchange each other's problems. But going to be fascinating to see how all of this plays out because they've got so many things hanging over them.
Let's shift gears and play a game of trade musical chairs, and not necessarily with the Clippers, but let's move on to Milwaukee here, Pete. And so you mentioned Brian Windhorst. I think that was a New York radio media hit.
Possibly. Oh, my bad.
I'm not sure where it was, but in any event, there were whispers about Giannis during the offseason, and this is what Windhorst was alluding to in the clip that was out there on social media, in that Giannis, whether through him or his representation, was sort of just like, well, if I was going to go anywhere, the Knicks would be at the top of my list. And apparently, I think the Bucks engaged the Knicks from what Windhorst was saying. What would you offer? And apparently, seemingly, that didn't go much of anywhere. And Giannis committed himself, from in Windhorst words, to the Bucks for this season. They signed Thanasis. They brought in Alex. I think Alex is on a two-way. Thanasis is on a standard contract and back with the Bucks this year. And so it was sort of like, okay, we'll move forward this year. But the Bucks they're not out of it. But they are not where they want to be. Giannis missed a handful of games, and the Bucks, I think, went 1-4 in those games that he missed. I think they're only 9-8 with him, so they're under 500. And what do you do if you're Milwaukee, Pete? Like, talk about leveraging assets over and over and over again in order to maintain your relationship with a player. The Bucks have done that, right? It worked out for them in the Drew Holiday trade that got them a championship. But since then, it's been like, okay, well, now we're going to swap out Chris Middleton and we're going to get Damian Lillard. And now we're going to like stretch and wave Dame in order to get Miles Turner. And, you know, like we got Kyle Kuzma in that Middleton deal. And so it's like everything is like law of diminishing returns with every consecutive deal that they've made. And they're getting less and less and less out of it. Talk about the best player in franchise history. Giannis is right there with Kareem for the Bucks. How do you do that with your best franchise player ever? And the guy who won you your first championship in, what, 50 years when he got them a ring? So where do you see their situation going?
D, it's December, so it's the Christmas season. You know the premise of the old story, A Christmas Carol, about the ghosts of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and then the ghost of Christmas future being shown to Ebenezer Scrooge, right? And the ghost of Christmas future is this ominous, if you keep living like this, this is how things are going to be. I think that the Lakers front office, to pull the Lakers into this, would argue that that is the ghost of Christmas future if the Lakers really dove 2 feet into the do anything we could have to get LeBron and AD their last championship. Now, we can still feel that they should have, right? But their argument is that we are so much better positioned as a result of not going that route that I think validates them a little bit. So on one front, D, like you said, this is the guy that's won your first title in 50 years, is one of the dominant players in the league and still is, that of course you're going to do everything you can to get to add talent to, if you're not quite there, to do it. Like, whatever you need to do, come hell or high water, you're going to try to do it. But there is a price for that at the end, if whether it works out or not, right? That type of approach of always being about today, 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 then tomorrow eventually shows up whether you like it or not. And I think that's what's happening to both the Clippers and the Bucks. And so I'm very curious to see if the Giannis to the Knicks things ends up materializing. I'm curious what Milwaukee wants from their point of view, but it does seem like everything's sort of coming to a head. And so, D, I'm curious, last trade deadline was the craziest trade deadline probably in NBA history, where not just Luka, but several star-level talent moved at the deadline. I wonder, do you think that is a function of the new CBA? Was that just a one-off? Is it easier, do you think, to make trades at the deadline versus the summer? Because the summer was relatively quiet from that perspective, right? We didn't have a ton of stars moving over the course of the summer. Do you think the deadline is the new time for the stars to move?
I don't know, honestly. I think that if you're trading star for star, it's fine. You can do it at the deadline versus just like you can do it during the offseason. If you're moving star for like lesser players and you need several more contracts to sort of cobble together in order to reach the money figure that you need, then I think that it's almost always going to happen during the offseason. And so I'm not sure what's going to happen with Giannis in this way. Like, if there was a one-to-one sort of contract trade scenario that worked, then I think you could explore it that way. But I haven't looked at where the Knicks are, if they're a first apron or if they're a second apron team. If they're a second apron team, then they can't aggregate contracts. If they're, even if they're just a first apron team, though, they can't take back more money in a deal. And so the restrictions that come from the aprons are problematic. When it comes to the Knicks, you can typically negotiate those a little bit better during the offseason when everyone falls below these, where most teams, I'm sorry, fall below. And then you account for the aftermath of that after. And then you become a first apron team and now you have to fill out your roster with a bunch of minimum guys or whatever. So it feels tricky in that I think it's going to be hard to trade Giannis in season. Now, maybe it works out that way, but I wouldn't expect him to be on the Bucks next year.
Yeah. And if the Lakers are going to get in the mix, I think it's likelier to be a summer thing than it is at the deadline. Lakers only have one pick to move. I am curious, though, what Milwaukee might be looking for in a move.
Yeah. Milwaukee is similar to the Clippers in that they don't own a lot of their own future picks in the immediate future.
A lot of swaps, a lot of pick swaps. They have picks, but it's somebody else has the right to swap with them.
Yeah, and this is where those chickens coming home to roost, the way that you had laid out. I think they still owe things that are outstanding from that first Jrue Holiday deal.
They do.
In terms of New Orleans having a piece of their future draft picks, or it might actually be Atlanta that gets a part of
it. Yeah, let me jump in here. So Atlanta has their pick swap this year, New Orleans next year, Portland in 28. They don't have a pick at all in 29. Portland in 2030 owns the rights to swap as well. So Milwaukee doesn't control their own first round pick until 2031. So it can't just be something as simple as, oh, let's just tank and be bad and get high draft picks and restock the talent that way.
It can't be. And all those go back to the Holiday trade and then the Dame trade after that, right? Even the Kuzma Middleton deal, there's always capital that they were going to send out in order to try to improve their team. And so ideally, Milwaukee would get back a young player who they believe can be the centerpiece of a team that makes them somewhat competitive. If that player has some star appeal and would help them at least partially fill the arena from that perspective, then even better. I don't know too many of those guys who were on the market right now. Are you going to trade, I don't know, Giannis to Atlanta for Trae Young? Atlanta's been playing well. Trae Young's been out. They've turned themselves into like a defense first team that has enough offense, and Jalen Johnson is turning into a star right in front of us. Nickeil Alexander-Walker is picked up his scoring. Dyson Daniels. They've got all of these guys who are looking good. Could you build a deal around Trae Young and be like, okay, well, Trae Young fills arenas. Like, he's a talented, not quite as young anymore player, but still, like, he's Luka's age.
He's fun. Yeah, he's a fun player that can put up numbers. Yeah.
And has made a conference finals run as the sort of centerpiece player. He's clutch as much as you want to define that. He's a big game player. But what are you going to do? And you're not going to send Giannis to a place like Charlotte. So there's also a certain amount of Milwaukee wants to like look out for one of their own, even when they make a deal like this. I would imagine they're not just going to send Giannis to wherever in order to recoup the most assets.
There's also a great deal of skittishness from the other franchise's standpoint of, I know that stars don't have the leverage to be able to dictate everything and anything, but Giannis is going to command a king's ransom of sorts that you better be sure he's going to be there for more than a year and a half if you do that. And a lot of teams are going to be skittish about that. Let's take our second break, come back, and keep it going.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today.
DSW, let us surprise you.
Where do you think the Lakers fit into any Giannis discussion, Pete? I know behind the scenes, the Lakers were very interested in like Luka Doncic's pending free agency. And I know that they've been very interested in Giannis's pending free agency as well. Again, you don't need to be a rocket scientist. Go find pictures of Rob Pelinka sitting there with Kostas and Giannis and Thanasis and
playing the
like,
long
hey,
game.
Hey, guys, like, how
How's
are you doing? Like,
yeah. I'm Rob.
Yeah. Funny seeing you here talking to your brother. Anyways, So where do you think the Lakers fit into this? I know that they'd love to find a long-term super-duper star to pair with Luka, regardless of what we think of Austin and his fit with Luka, which is going up and up and up by the day. It's just like Giannis is on a whole different level. He's a perennial MVP candidate, and the Lakers are always on the lookout for another one of those.
Yes, and that's something to remember. Now, I don't think the Lakers are the favorite to land him or anything like that. I do think that they are being a little under-discussed in terms of the capability of being able to get him. I do think things are more trending toward the Lakers bring most of this crew back and make some changes around the edges. But if Giannis becomes available, that is something that they'll absolutely be in on that. And the point that I made a moment ago about several franchises will be out on the possibility of Giannis, even though they might have some more of that capital to be able to make a move for him, precisely because, like, you heard the comments about Giannis saying, you know, I want all the Europeans in the big markets. He's like, I want Luka in LA. I want Jokic with the Knicks, which he may be have used him as an avatar for himself, right? He's not going to say, I want to be somewhere else. So if you're San Antonio, for example, they're one of the main teams that come to mind that aren't the Knicks. Of they've got some good young movable pieces, lots of really good guards that if I'm Milwaukee, I'm like, yeah, I'd love to have Dylan Harper on my team or Stephon Castle. That would be a great place to start in terms of kind of a post-Giannis era. Then they've got all these picks from other teams that they own that could be really valuable. But if you're looking at it from San Antonio's perspective, the smallest market in the league, and you hear Giannis say, I want all the Europeans in the big markets, you're probably going to really want to know that he's going to be there in a year and a half and that you can build something around him for multiple years, or otherwise go a different route because you are in a really good position, D.
Just to be clear, when we're talking about Giannis's contract situation, he's under contract this season at $54 million. He's under contract next season for $58.5 million. In the 27-28 season, he has a player option. Mm-hmm. And so when Pete's talking about a year and a half from now, is he going to be here? That's what he's referencing. It's like Giannis can opt out of his deal and become an unrestricted free agent in the summer of 2027. And that is the same leverage Anthony Davis used in order to get traded out of New Orleans. Mm-hmm. It's the same timeline here. It's a year and a half out. And AD was being like, oh, Boston? You want to trade for me? And his dad was out there being like, he's not going to play in Boston. Shout out AD's dad.
Hell yeah.
Whenever this story comes up, sir. I always want to shout out AD's dad. He's one of us.
That's right.
We're doing the one of us meme right now and hitting the table. But this is the leverage that he has, Pete. And all he has to do is be like, yeah, I'm not sure if I'll resign there. And that team's offer instantly goes from you get everything to I have to insulate myself from this guy walking. And if you're the Spurs anyway, Pete, let's bring it back to San Antonio because they are the most discussed team, I think. And in many ways, the most practical team. Like, oh, pair the alien with the other alien?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be incredible. And right? You can make the argument, okay, just do the Toronto thing like they did with Kawhi, right? That was basically what Kawhi said. Is like, I don't want to play in Toronto. And Masai said, I don't care. And they won a championship that way. So there is an argument for that, too.
There is an argument for that. I would argue, though, that it's one thing to give up DeMar DeRozan in a deal where that team had clearly not gotten over the top for several years in a row and basically been like slapped around by LeBron over and over and over again in those Eastern Conference runs and be like, yeah, I'll give up DeMar DeRozan in order to get Kawhi Leonard, a severely distressed asset at that time, because remember, he had that quad knee thing that he had been rehabbing and it was unclear. And they loan managed Kawhi that entire championship season up until the playoffs, where he essentially then was ready to go full bore. It's one thing to trade DeMar DeRozan in that way. It's another thing to be like, yeah, the kid we just drafted number two overall, like, yeah, we'll give you him when he looks to be like a natural pairing as a point guard to our franchise big man. Or yeah, we'll give you Stephon Castle. If I'm San Antonio, I'm like, I know you got to give something to get something, but even without the prospect of Giannis leaving, I'd be like, well, you know what I actually want? Giannis is 31 or about to be 32 or whatever. It's like, what I really want is to add him the way that Houston has added Kevin Durant, right? Which is like, I'm keeping my young superstar guys. And can I offer you a De'Aaron Fox and a Keldon Johnson and all of the draft capital? Rather than being like, oh, you get a Dylan Harper and or Stephon Castle and Harrison Barnes. You know what I mean? Like, and so for me, the Spurs are way better positioned to say, I'll keep my kettle dry right now and not send out everything.
This reminds me of the Shaq trade when the Lakers were in the negotiations with Miami. We were like, hey, that young guard, Dwayne Wade, he's pretty good. We've got Shaq, the most dominant guy in the league. And Miami held firm in terms of what they would give up. Yeah. They were like, well, here's a young Lamar Odom and Caron Butler instead with an expiring Brian Grant. And they ended up winning out on that. And that happens more often than you think.
Yeah, well, it's just like because the team that's getting the star, we often think of the team that's getting the star having to give up a ton of stuff in order to get the star. That's just not how superstar trades go. That's kind of what made the Luka trade so fascinating.
Absolutely.
In that the Lakers gave up a guy in AD that was, AD was awesome. And I would not have traded him for 98% of the league. The 2% of the league I would have traded him for, one of those guys the Lakers got back.
Before we wrap up, D, to change gears, got some sad news yesterday. Eldon Campbell passed away at age 57. Eldon was the number 26 pick by the Lakers in the 1990 draft. He grew up in the shadow of the Great Western form, went to Morningside High School in Inglewood. I was reflecting back on his career last night and early this morning. He was a young athlete joining kind of an old team. And sort of the excitement that we have about Adu Thiro and what he could be, that was Eldon his rookie year. He was on that team that went to the finals in 91, but didn't play a whole lot as that deep bench guy, but started to get minutes in his second year. And he's the leading shot blocker for the Lakers over the course of the 90s. I remember he did the Lakers a solid and they did it right back because it paid off. But he waited in 1996 free agency to sign anywhere for the Shaq situation to resolve. At that time, they had bird rights, but they didn't have cap holds. So you didn't have Eldon, who had been with the team for years and years, counting against the cap. He waited until after Shaq signed and then the very next day signed a 7-year, $49 million deal, and the Lakers were just stacking talent upon talent. Lakers ended up moving him along with Eddie for Glenn Rice in 99, the year before they won the title. You know, ends up winning the championship against the Lakers in 2004. What do you remember about Eldon?
Eldon was a tantalizing player in a lot of ways, and tantalizing players can often like frustrate and disappoint you in a variety of ways as well, right? Because the moments that they flash, they never quite reach that level consistently. And if they did, they would be all-star players, right? And so Eldon had great size. He was a good athlete. He was a guy who could finish with both hands around the basket. He was famous for like dunking left-handed.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like he was a lefty dunker a lot and played like a, would clearly be like a real center in today's game, but played some power forward for the Lakers as well. Just like a big mobile dude who towards the end of his career became way more of like a traditional like center guy who would lock down the middle of the paint and was always a good shot blocker. And the parts of his game where he really flashed were more on defense than on offense. And I remember being frustrated at times with Eldon. He famously like had smaller hands, like Kwame Brown got famous for this later, right? Like this big physical dude, but had hands the size of a guard. Eldon was like that as well. And so there were times where it's like he wouldn't grip the ball as well or would fumble a pass. And it was just like, oh, Eldon, you're frustrating me here.
He was somebody that I've always railed against scapegoating players and things like that.
Yep.
And there's always a player on the Lakers almost inevitably that the fan base kind of has its knives out for a little bit. And he was that at times.
He was that at times. And I will say this, man, it's difficult being a big man for the Lakers with the shadow of history right there on your shoulder almost all of the time, right? And so he was one of those bridge players after Kareem and then had to play in the shadow of Shaq. But I will say, Pete, like the moments where he was really like shining on the court and put it all together, I'm just like, look at Eldon Campbell, man, just being a force around the basket, could shoot little. This is the era, too,
of like big guys who played with their back to the basket more. And so he flashed like little jump hooks and had a nice little face up game where he could shoot a little face up jumper from 12 to 15 feet. He was a skilled player and again came with athletic chops and could block shots and defend the paint. It was just one of those things where it just never quite all got put together for him in a way. But as a late first round pick, it's
15 year career, man, as the 27th pick in the draft. Eldon did just fine for himself.
1,000 and a $49 million contract. Back then, that was the $120 million contract of what today looks like, right? Because I remember, so it's like, wait, they signed Eldon for $7 million a year and $49 million? Like, it didn't seem like outlandish when they paid Shaq whatever they like they paid him. What was that, like $117 million or $122 million? Mm-hmm. Like, but that was still a lot of money for a guy that you knew was basically going to be mostly a backup.
Well, he started a few years at first, right? It was Ori that was coming off of the bench for a lot of those. He was our starting four for a minute.
And then after all of the trades and then Phil came, it was Horace Grant and all the recycled players. But I will say that there were times where I was just like, oh, it would have been nice to have Eldon Campbell as like a backup big on those early championship teams, right? Just because I know Shaq was out there playing 40 minutes a night. Phil did not give a damn about sending Shaq out there forever and ever and ever. But it would have been nice to be like, oh, throw it to Eldon in the triangle and let him look like do his best Bill Cartwright impersonation for a little bit. But you're right. He did go on and win a championship with those Pistons and extracted some revenge, some would say. But it's just like he had a good career. And it's like 57, man.
Way
like,
too young.
Way too young, man. And when you're a Laker, it's like you put in years here. I know that you talked about scapegoating and fans and everything else, but he'll always have fans and he'll always be remembered, even in the harsh moments, like fondly for like he was a Laker and a good Laker for many years. And it's sad to see him go.
Leading Laker shot blocker of the 90s. And yeah, lots of good years for Eldon with the Lakers. All right, we will wrap up here. We will be back tomorrow, preview the game a bit against Toronto. But until then, you've been listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out of front, broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
There's Magic got it. Magic fires. It's good. The Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game.
Rebound to Lowry. 3 seconds left.
Van Exel,
the winner. It's on the way.
Good! Kobe Bryant, 48 points, 16 rebounds. Shaq with his eighth block shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe. Hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal! Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Pretty pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move.
Two, one.
Miss it!
Bryant! Unbelievable.
It's over.
Shot clock now to five. Bryant.
Yeah!
And that was a little tough to Eldon Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers! James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.